Thank you, Jesus, that you are here. Yeah, I just felt the anointing almost on Justin's story when the lion roared. And I just felt God saying that I'm roaring over you, my children. And I feel also with the declarations, I felt the presence of God on the spirit of an abandonment. And I felt, it feels like we're starting with the end this morning, but here we go. So thank you, God, that for those who feel abandoned and lonely this morning, for those who feel unprotected, God, that the Lion of Judah is standing right behind them and you roaring over us this morning, saying, we are yours. Yeah, and I just see that image and that part of the Lion King, the movie, where little Simba is trying to roar and he's thinking he's scaring off the hyenas, but actually it's his dad behind him. So I don't know if that is you this morning, and you need to know your dad is right behind you. You are not alone. So Father, thank you that this morning, God, we just declare there's no loneliness because you are right behind us. There's no problem that's too big because you are right behind us. There's no sickness you cannot heal because Jesus died for it on the cross. Thank you that this morning, Father, we can declare that lung diseases will be healed in Jesus' name. Father, knees will be healed. I thank you, God, that we can just declare shoulders will be healed. Father, I thank you, God, for every single need, there is a solution, and it's called the cross. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid. And you're not paying today. You paid 2,000 years ago. So thank you, Father, that today is a day of miracles because you are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we started with the end, and that's also good. So I felt as I was preparing this week, I felt if my makeup is everywhere, I'm sorry. It happens when the Spirit of God is here. I sometimes cry. I sometimes laugh. Mostly I cry. This morning I felt it to go back to the kind of the basics when it comes to healing. All right. So for some of you that have been with us on this road, I actually looked this week when our very first healing service was. It was on the 6th of June 2001. No? 2021. So it's 2 years that we've been busy with this. It feels like it's part of us, isn't it? Hey, for those who have been here for that long, it feels like that's what we do. But I am just so encouraged with how far we have come and more than I'm proud of us as a church for believing and saying, God, we want it all. But I'm more astounded in what God has done with the little bit that we had. You know, that is the God we serve, saying, Jesus, we see this in your word. We have nothing, but we have this little bit of faith. Please, you know, can you do something? And it's the two fishes and the five loaves. And Jesus is saying, that's all I need. That's all I need to do and feed 4,000 and then 5,000 men only. So this morning we're going to take a little bit of a tour again through the Word of God, just around God's heart for our healing. When I speak about healing, it's physical healing, but it's very much emotional healing, and it's even spiritual healing. So when you hear healing, think holistic healing, all right? Jesus paid for it all. And we're going to start with our very first scripture. I've got it all up there, but you're welcome to run through the word with me if you want to. Exodus 15:26. You know, one of the names of God is Jehovah Rapha. It means the Lord our healer. And we see that in Exodus, this is the Israelites. They've just exited out of Egypt, out of 400 years of slavery. They've now come out. And this is one of the very first, I think it's the first name, the first nature of God that he almost reveals to them in the desert. He says there and said, if you diligently heed the voice, this is Moses speaking to the people, of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I've brought on the Egyptians. Now, okay, now let's remember, the Egyptians had many problems, especially when the Israelites, it was time for them to leave. They had boils. They had people dying. It was animals dying. It was ridden with disease and miraculous signs and wonders that God did on behalf of his people to set them free. But God is saying, none of that will happen to you. And he says, therefore, I am the Lord who heals you. This is Old Testament. This is even before Jesus came and died on the cross, guys. This is significant. This is not God who does something. This is who he is. He is the Lord our healer. Psalm 103, verse 2 to 5. I've often spoken about this. We understand, and church history and the church people, what do you call them? The pastors, the church fathers, the believers that went before us did such an amazing job and helping us understand that salvation is through faith. There was a time, we don't live in that time, so we struggle to understand it. But there was a time that people believed that it was through your money that you had to buy your salvation, your righteous standing before God. We can't believe that today because church history, the people have done such an amazing job at explaining and saying that is a lie. Salvation is through faith. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. So it's nothing you need to do. So if we read with that background, Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Isn't that amazing? You know, David, I'm going to go on a little bit of a sidetrack, but David, when he faced Goliath, what was the very first question that he actually asked that question twice of his brothers and the other soldiers who were scared to death? He asked twice, what's the reward? What will the person get who kills this giant? And they said, you will get the king's daughter, I suppose that was a good one, and not pay taxes. So he said, that's a good deal. And then he asked again, go and read it in Samuel. He asked twice, tell me again, what's the reward? What's in this for me? We think David was super spiritual, and I think he was. But here he's reminding us, and he says, and forget not all his benefits. And I think how quickly we are to forget or not actually realize what Jesus paid for and what is part of our inheritance. It's already in the bank account. We just need to draw it because he paid for it. All right, verse 2, and he says there, who forgives all your iniquities. This is the one where salvation, Jesus forgives. When somebody comes to the front and they say after the service, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Not one of us will say, if you've walked with the Lord a little bit, you know, that's all good and well, but you first need to do X, Y, and Z, and you have to pay, have you paid your tithe? And what have you done to justify yourself? We won't do that, right? Because we believe he forgives us. When we repent, he forgives our iniquities. Amen? We're all on that page. But for some reason, we struggle with the next one, who heals all your diseases. It's the same word. It's right there next to each other. And you see, I believe it's because it's just because we haven't actually believed and walked this out. And for some reason, and we'll get to that, and it's natural, and one of the reasons I believe we struggle with healing is because of disappointment. And we're going to speak about that this morning. But we're going to speak about that, but I'm going to make the statement now already. Our past disappointment, our past experience cannot determine our theology. It's difficult. But my experience, whether positive or negative, cannot determine my theology, what I believe about Jesus. The only thing that can determine what I believe about Jesus is the Word of God. That's the truth. But yes, there are disappointments. And yes, there are things we don't understand. And that's part of life. And we've got to deal with it. And we're going to get to that. All right, so verse 3, I'm going to read again. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I think that's one of my favorite pieces of scripture. Just so many promises in there. And this is still in the Old Testament. This is the Old Testament. Jesus hasn't come. But this is the heart of the Father. Richard spoke about the four things that Jesus did in his ministry. Healing was crucial. It was one of the main things Jesus did. Everywhere he went, very often he healed and then only he preached, right? And I think he did it on purpose so that we don't have to think we need to earn our healing. He would heal and then all of a sudden he had the crowd's attention. Because my goodness, somebody that has been lame since birth or blind since birth has just received their sight, right? So I think sometimes it was an evangelism tool. We didn't anticipate it, but that's what started happening with our healing services. All of a sudden, somebody heard about somebody getting healed, and they're like, what happened to you? Remember, they prayed for me at church, and now I'm healed. Well, I'm coming to that church. When's the next healing service? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He healed, and then he explained, and he preached the kingdom. But the other thing he did was he revealed the Father. He revealed the Father of the God of the Old Testament, which seemed distant and big and majestic and sometimes angry. Jesus came and said, if you want to know what the Father is like, look at me. Jesus said, I think it was Thomas or one of the disciples asked him, but show us the Father, Jesus, we don't understand. And he said, do you still not know? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. So the God of the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament, they are one. So if you're struggling to understand God, read the Gospels and see Jesus. And he's saying, I'm just revealing. I'm just doing what the Father is saying to me to do and telling me to do. Does that make sense? Isaiah 53 verse 5, we're still in the Old Testament. It says there, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. This we know. That's why when we sin, Jesus paid for it. We know that. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. There's a graphic movie, The Passion of the Christ. I don't know if anybody has. You guys seen that? I only saw it once. I think there's a 16 rating on it. It's rough. It's rough. You know, we think if you think about a stripe, you think of a good old bokslaw, you know, says funny beasts if you grew up in that era. But the stripes that was laid on Jesus' back, guys, that was not with a normal haute Leopoldine. That was a sweep, a whip that they do the animals, the cattle on the farms that they chase them around with. I grew up on a farm. I can hear that sound of that point going. But the difference is this whip, it had little pieces of metal in. Jesus was whipped. So can you imagine if that metal goes into your body? And sometimes we want to sugarcoat and make only the pretty things in church. But this is what Jesus went through. Those pieces of metal went into his back. It went in, and they didn't slowly take it out. No, they ripped it out. So his back was literally ripped open. Not once, I don't know how many stripes he received. And that is the healing that he paid for. Every sickness, every piece of your body that is broken, of your heart that is broken. We spoke about abandonment earlier. You know, for a second, Jesus experienced abandonment. Him and the Father are one. But while he was on the cross, he said, my Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? For some of you, you feel like God doesn't understand. I've been abandoned by whoever, fill in the dots, my dad, my mom. You know, Jesus took it all on the cross. He was abandoned. His body was ripped apart. This is only one of the things that happened to his body, is this stripe and the whipping. I mean, this crown, it wasn't placed lightly on his head. They forced those thorns into, I'm sorry if it's graphic, but that's what Jesus did for us. They forced it into his skull, guys. And then, while he was bruised and bloody, he had to carry his cross. He couldn't even walk properly. All of that he did so that we don't have to go through it. He paid for it. He didn't just pay for you to get into heaven. He paid for us so that we don't need to be sick. We don't need to live with the fear of abandonment or this hole in your heart that maybe somebody is going to leave. Jesus said, I paid for it. I was alone, so you don't ever have to be alone. I was bruised, I was beaten, so your body can be whole. Right, and then we move on to the New Testament, and we see more of this. Remember, all of this we read now, this was in the Old Testament. That was even before the cross. Jesus said, I'm the Lord who healed you. In the wilderness, while the Israelites walked there for 40 years, do you know that they didn't get sick? For 40 years, they wore the same clothes, their shoes didn't get worn out. My goodness, we bought Christina new tackies. Christina is our little 8-year-old. We bought her new tackies. I kid you not, now when the school started, it's what, 3-4 weeks a month? And these tackies, it was good tackies. They have got holes on the top of them, you know, body twinners on the top of the tackies. And I looked at them last week and I told her, what are you doing? These are new tackies. And she looked down and she says, it happens at school. So I said, what are you doing at school? She said, I don't know. But I mean, I'm amazed. And they were good tackies because she is quite rough and hard on a tackie. But can you imagine for 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. You can go read it. It's in the Bible. Their clothes didn't get old. I think it's pretty bad if you're fashion conscious. Not too sure if they had new clothes, ladies, but it didn't grow old. How amazing. Alkamar said, yes, means it was for my. Ooh, the clothes and the feet are growing. But now we hop to the New Testament and we carry on and we see that's what Richard said. Jesus came and a major part of his ministry was healing. He healed everywhere. And the first scripture we're going to read is Matthew 9, verse 35. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Do you know that Jesus healed everybody who came to him who was sick? There wasn't a sickness that he said, oh, geez, no grace for that one today. Sorry, wrong day. That didn't happen. Jesus healed every sickness and every disease. Matthew 4, verse 24, it says there, then he, who is Jesus, his fame, went throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the Father's heart. Jesus, remember, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. That's the Father God. You know, if you, also going to go on a sidetrack here. If you as a mom or dad, imagine if you have kids, if you haven't had kids, imagine they are still coming, or maybe not, doesn't really matter. Just imagine your own kids. Do you want them to be sick? Do you enjoy it when they have a fever and they're not feeling well? Or when they are vomiting? Or when they are just not feeling well? Or when they are heartbroken? We don't want that for our kids, do we? Yet sometimes we think it's God's will for us to be sick. We fall into the trap. We believe the lie that because God is so good, Romans 8 verse 28 says, God can make all things work together for the good for those who love him, right? And because he is so good of winning with every hand he gets, you know, God doesn't get a dud hand in cards. He doesn't go, oh, goodness, that's not great. We played a game of cards last week with the kids at school, and one of them said, oh, geez, not going to win with this hand. You know, there's no hand that God cannot win with. Do you know that? It doesn't matter what's going on in your world, in your life. God is so good at making good out of our messes that sometimes we believe he caused the mess. The mess, the disease can be used by God, yes, but the healing was never from him. That's not a good father. now I know I'm rattling a couple of belief systems, but you need to see this. Jesus said, I came for you to be healed, to be whole, to be loved. I didn't come to bring death, destruction, stealing. That has got the enemy's name written all over it. But yes, he is so good that he can make any difficult and very bad situation seem like it's from him. Does that make sense? All right. And then what happened is, God came, Jesus came, and he walked the earth, and just before he went, for 3 years he walked with his disciples. There wasn't just 12, there was an inner circle of 12, and then there was a very inner circle of only 3. Do you guys know that? Okay, so when you say that God handles everybody the same, Jesus doesn't quite do that. He loves us all the same. But they had a fight. Sorry, this is also a bit sidetracked, but I feel somebody needs to hear this. There was a fight amongst the disciples. Who's the most important? You know? Yeah, we all fight about that. You see it in the kids. No. We adults, we don't fight about that. It's just different when we're big, right? But you see it amongst the kids. Mom, Dad, who's the most important? Who do you love the most? Like, no, it's not an issue of love. I love you all the same. But Jesus, they had a fight about who's the most significant, the most important. Jesus says, I love you all the same. You're getting it wrong. You're understanding this whole thing wrong. If you want to be the most important, you need to be the least. You need to serve. But Peter, James, and John, you guys come with me. The rest of you wait outside. That's what he did. Go and read the Bible. Go and read what he did. Jesus, he doesn't have a problem offending us, unfortunately. Okay, so that's a side note. But you know what? He loves us all the same. Okay, so what he did was he was training up the 12 disciples and the 70, and I think there were actually more than that, who he was training up for 3 years. And then he said to them, in Matthew 10, verse 1, he said to them, and when he, Jesus, had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. Just stop there. He gave them power. Did they have the power? No. They couldn't do nothing. He gave them power. We're going to speak about what or who this power is. But you need to realize they had nothing. We have nothing. Okay? God has the power. But he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. He didn't say you can just heal headaches. No cancer for you. You cannot heal cancer. You can heal headaches and maybe, you know, a ligament in the knee. But no TB and no cancer. That's not what he says. He says when you receive the power, and we're going to speak about who that is just now, when you receive my power, you can heal all diseases and all sicknesses. Why? Because it's not you, but it's the Holy Spirit, the power of God through you. And I think sometimes we get that mixed up, and that's where it gets difficult. We think it's us. We think we are the ones who are supernatural. We are the superhuman beings. There's no such thing. We are all just human beings, flesh and blood. But the Holy Spirit is the power of God. He's the one, when he comes on us and works through us, anything is possible. We're going to go to Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus now decided, he told his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem. Remember, he went to heaven. We're going through the Bible. This is a bit of a sprint through the Bible this morning, so I'm hoping you're with me. He ascended to heaven, right? After he stayed on the earth for a couple of days longer, after he rose from the dead, he went to heaven and he told his disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come, right? And it says there, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. The promise of my Father, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is Jesus in us. How wild is that? that the King of the universe, just think about it, the King of the universe, the King of the Old Testament, that split the sea, that did all these miracles to set his people free from Egypt, he's saying, I want to come and I want to come and make my home within you. Why would he do that? I don't understand. I think it's wonderful. I don't understand it. But he chooses and he says, I no longer dwell in Jerusalem. I no longer dwell in an ark. I make my temple in you. You are my new home. So the promise of the Father will come upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are in, Richard, moeilike woord, endued, donkey, with power, I've got a living, cereal, whatever, with power from on high. So Jesus made it clear, because I can't do English, after a while my English is finished. Maths I can do, languages not so good. But Jesus said, wait there, because you cannot do this on your own. So Jesus said, this is impossible. The assignment to bring heaven to earth, for the kingdom of God to advance, for you to do what I've told you to do, you cannot do it on your own. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need it. You cannot do it. You know, I read this week, I'm busy with Acts, and I read this week the story of the seven sons of Sceva. Have you guys? That's a lucky one. So what happened in Acts, I thought that was brilliant. I thought, I've got to preach on that sometime. You know, quick story, what happened, you can go and read it in Acts, is Peter and the disciples are now, they sang this phrase, they said, those who have turned the world upside down have come into our city. The people are complaining, and I thought, may we be called those who have turned the world upside down, you know. They are in front hook, those who have turned the world upside down. But now Peter and Paul and the disciples are preaching the gospel. And these seven sons of Sceva, seven brothers, their dad's name is Sceva probably, or where they're from, I don't know. But it's seven brothers. They're seeing that the disciples are casting out demons in the name of Jesus. So they actually go and they say, is it in the name of Paul or Peter? Paul, right? And they actually go and they're saying, oh, this is working. So they're saying, well, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul is casting demons out of, you demon, come out. And this demon speaks back. And he says, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? You know? And the word of God actually says, they got a hammering. They ran out naked out of that place. I thought, oh my word. They got physically undressed because they thought there's magic in this what they can do, not realizing it's out of relationship. It's our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's our relationship with Jesus that enables us to do it, because we can't do it. The Holy Spirit does it through us. All right. Now, I'm hoping you know by now that Jesus is the one who heals. We cannot do anything. But the Holy Spirit is Jesus in us. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. Even Jesus, after he was baptized, he received the Holy Spirit, came upon him, and he remained upon him. The Father tore open the clouds and says, this is my beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. He is not a dove. He's sometimes like a dove, he's sometimes like fire, but he came down on Jesus and he remained. And in the same way, God hasn't changed his heart for us. He hasn't changed his heart for healing. God is still Jehovah Rapha in the Old Testament. He's still the Lord who heals us. God is saying, I haven't changed the assignment. Jesus is still saying, Matthew 10 verse 1, I want you to go, baptize the people, teach them about Jesus, heal their diseases, cast out demons. But you need the power of the Holy Spirit. So actually, this should be part of following Jesus 101. It should be once you get saved, right, now you go and heal the people, you deliver them of demons, you raise the dead, and you teach them about the kingdom of God. That should be part of what we do when we get saved. When, like Derek often says, you enlist in the army. He got saved and he thought, well, now I need to go to church because that's what you do. You enroll for duty. Here I am. I gave my life to Jesus. In the same way, this should be where you do it is different. For some of us, we do it at school. For some of us, we do it at church. For some of us, you go to sport field. It doesn't matter where you are. The assignment is basically the same. Teaching people, healing people, setting them free, letting the kingdom come. Does that make sense? Unfortunately, we have to quickly speak about disappointment. You see, I think that's one of the main reasons why people either struggle to believe that God is still the one and his heart for us is still the same as it is what we just read in the Bible. It's because I have prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. And it might have been a loved one. And that is, I almost want to say, holy ground. And that's difficult. And that's real. And I don't want to diminish that in any way this morning. But I feel God is saying, are you going to believe, are you going to allow your disappointment and your hurt to be above my truth? Or are you going to believe me that I'm saying that I want to heal and I'm still healing today? You know, there's a beautiful story in Mark 9. I think I've got the one scripture up there. Mark 9, where the disciples, actually Jesus was somewhere else, and there was a dad who brought a demon-possessed boy to his disciples, Jesus' disciples. Now, this is the disciples who they were with Jesus. They have been healing people. They have been casting out demons. So they've been doing this stuff. But they got this little boy who was demon-possessed, and I think he was epileptic. And the disciples couldn't heal him. Okay? That's us sometimes, right? No matter what we do, it feels like we're just not getting the breakthrough. They couldn't heal him. Eventually, Jesus got there saying, what's the commotion? And the dad of the boy says, look, I brought my son to your disciples, but they cannot heal him. They cannot fix the problem. And Jesus then proceeds to heal the boy, to cast out the demon, and the boy is healed. But what I want you to see is Mark 9, verse 29. This is now after Jesus has sorted out the mess. The disciples, can you imagine, are rightly a little bit confused, probably feeling a little bit ashamed. Like, God, Jesus, you said we'd be able to do this, and we tried. And everything you said to do, it didn't work. So, I mean, what's going on here? So the disciples had a choice. Either they walk away and saying, this is just a whole show. I can't do this. The problem is they've seen too much. So for some of us, for somebody, that's a word. That you want to turn away, or you've actually considered turning away. The problem is you've seen too much. You know he's real. Because if you hung around with Jesus long enough, you know that even though I cannot make sense of this, and half of what Jesus said, they never understood. And sometimes we don't either, very often actually. The problem is they've seen too much. They know it's real. So they can walk away, or they can decide, well, healing is not for me. Clearly, I don't have the anointing when it comes to demon-possessed little boys. Or they can do what they did. Listen to what they did. It says there, and when he, Jesus, had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So I want to say to you, your disappointment is an invitation to speak to Jesus. I don't want to diminish it, but I also want to encourage you to take that disappointment and go to Jesus privately and say, Jesus, help me understand, even if you have to bypass my head and work in my heart. But I do not want to become an unbelieving believer because of past disappointment. So we're gonna pray, but before we pray, I asked Jeremy to come and share with us his testimony of not what happened 20 years ago, but what happened 2 months ago, here in this church and in Franschhoek. So I asked Jeremy, I know for some of the leaders have heard the testimony, I just thought it was amazing. So I said, please come and share it with the whole church.
I feel, excuse me, I feel very nervous after that sermon. I really do. It's such a joy to be part of this fellowship. It's a great joy to be part of this fellowship. I just want to say that. I have to say that I feel and have felt for some time a little diffident about healing. As far as I'm concerned, as I have gone past 70 years, and I sort of felt, you know, there is a natural aging process. I'm not sure that I can really go to God when we're dealing with natural aging processes. And having been blessed by 3 occasions that I have had to seek the good offices of orthopedic surgeons for hip operations, for which I am grateful to God, I have sort of have felt that I've been a bit diffident about coming to God for myself. It was in the middle of July. It was when Richard and Jolene weren't here. They were away on holiday. And we had a service which Durkee was leading. I think, Stefan, you were preaching. I can't quite remember. I should know better. That's another thing that happens past 70 years. The mind goes a little bit. That's correct, is it? Thank you. Anyway, as the service closed, I was part of the duty team, and so I was sort of wandering around the back and thinking that I must do something because I'm in the duty team. And I heard out of the corner of my ear Durkee saying something about knees were mentioned in the prayer at the beginning of the service, before the service started. And I just sort of heard this, but I thought, no, I must get on and do stuff because I'm in the duty team. But I did have a problem in my left knee. It was very sore, front and back. I had no idea what was going on, and it had been for a little while. So anyway, I didn't do anything. I didn't come forward, but I came back in the evening, and because I was still on duty and had stuff to do. No, sorry, I didn't. I came back for more reasons than that. Dear, oh dear, I'm digging myself a hole here. Anyway, at the end of the service, I thought, well, why don't I just go and ask Durkee to pray for my knee now? I could get him to pray now. So he did. We sat down on the sofa at the end there, and he prayed. And after his first prayer, quite short and simple, I got up and started walking around, and the pain at the back of my knee had gone completely. There was something that was still there, and so he prayed a little bit more. And I left the service feeling that my knee had been healed. And I can honestly say that I don't think I have to go to an orthopedic surgeon again and have a knee operation at this moment in time. I'm absolutely sure that the Lord did touch my knee. And I mean, I look forward so much to getting my new body, my resurrected body. It's going to be so wonderful. But I feel confident that now, even though I've got to this age, I can still come forward to pray. I can seek the Lord for prayer. And just to sort of finish off, because I feel that it is something which Jolene has sort of alluded to in what she was being saying, that this is something for all of us to be doing. Because I'm not quite sure when it was, 10 days later or so, I decided to take a hard broom and go down to the corner of the road, which I'm not sure which the road is, coming up towards the Crescent, turning around the corner into Heidi Street. I have found that out. And on the corner, when I'd been visiting in the UK, and I'd missed the worst of the storms, when I came back, I saw all of these stones that had come off the, come out of the river, off the sort of green area there, onto the road. And I thought for quite a long time, I thought these are a bit dangerous. I don't like driving over these stones. Somebody might get hit, or if I go past another car, something might come. And my sort of natural feeling of, I want to sweep these up, eventually got the better of me. And so I took a broom down to the corner of the road to start sweeping the stones away and clear up. And as I started, somebody came out from somewhere. I have no idea where he came from. But a man appeared and he said, oh, can't I do that for you? So I said, okay, well, thank you. That's very nice. All I would like is a sandwich and something to eat. So I went back home and I made a sandwich and I got a little bag to give to him. And when I got back to him, he'd just about finished the job, done a great job. And I just started engaging in conversation with him. And he certainly looked fairly rough and he was coughing and things. I did talk about Jesus and he clearly believed in Jesus. And he then said that he had TB and that he had medication. And I just felt burdened as I was talking to him that I couldn't just say, oh, I'm really sorry about that. I hope you get better soon. But that I had to pray for him there and then. And so I did. I said, could I pray for you? And he said, yes. And I just prayed quite simply that the Lord might heal him of his TB. And we parted company. He was a homeless guy called Arnold. And about 2 weeks after that, he came to the door of the house and he knocked on the door of the house and he had a huge beam on his face. And he said, my TB's gone. Which was just such an encouragement to me to pray, not just here, but out there in the community as a result of having taken a broom down to sweep up stones. So maybe there are things that we can do to engage with people. You won't find me filling the potholes in the middle of Franschhoek on Monday morning, but, you know, God wants to touch people, I think, wherever we are. So praise his name.
I love it. I've heard that testimony 3 times. It still brings me to tears. You know, that's the God we serve. He wants to touch us. He wants to heal us. He wants to love us. And Jeremy touched on it, and I do want to reiterate. Sometimes God uses doctors. So doctors are not our enemy. We love them. God gives them wisdom. And the process is sometimes different. We always trust for instant healing. The praying for the knee, and it gets healed immediately. I go for that one every time. But sometimes it's a process. And that's also okay. You know, so I want to encourage you to not put God in a box. We've spoken about this. Sometimes Jesus spoke to the blindness and said, be healed, you see in Jesus' name. Sometimes he spat on the ground and he made a big mudder, the mud, and he put it on the eyes. And sometimes he said, first go and wash yourself and then you will see. So it's different. So I want to encourage you to not put God in a box. He's got a way of doing it different. And he isn't a God of recipes because he wants to walk intimately with us. He wants us to hear from him, God, what do you want me to do? It's not a recipe. So we are going to pray for sick people. Hopefully not too big a surprise for you. But before I get there, I want to encourage you just if you feel comfortable, just to close your eyes with me for a second. I just feel before we're going to get to praying for those who are sick this morning, I just feel that there are some of us here who's really had disappointment in this area. And either you had somebody that was prayed for, that you really loved, who maybe even died, or somebody that has been prayed for a couple of times and they're still not healed. Or maybe you are the one who have prayed for people and they don't seem to have gotten better, or nothing seems to have happened. And if you're honest with yourself, the disappointment of that moment, maybe you are the one trusting Jesus for healing and you feel, I'm still sitting with the pain. God, I've had everybody pray for me. I've done everything. I've taken communion. I've anointed. I've done everything. Why is the pain still here? And I can't tell you. I don't know. I don't know why it happens. I often say, I work for God. He doesn't work for me. He doesn't report into me. He doesn't owe me no explanation. So I don't know why it happens. But what I do know is God is still Jehovah Rapha. He's still the God, our healer. He still wants to heal. What Jesus did on the cross is not diminished by our experience or disappointment. So I want to encourage you, if that is you, I'm going to not call you to the front, but I do want to pray for you. So if that is you, why don't you just slip up your hand if you are saying, I'm struggling in this area. Disappointment has actually gotten a little bit of the better of me. Thank you for those hands. If you've slipped it up, you can put it back down again. Is there anybody else that's saying, I'm actually, if I'm really honest, I'm struggling? Amen. So if you slipped up your hand, or even if you didn't, I want you just to bring your heart, so even symbolically, just take your heart and just give it to Jesus in front of you. I'm just going to pray for you. Jesus, you see every single heart who struggled with disappointment, God. You know the pain, Father, of hearing that you are our healer, yet you haven't healed, or you didn't heal, or it didn't work out the way I thought. Father, this morning we just bring that privately to you, like the disciples did. And we ask, Jesus, that you would maybe give answers, but maybe you don't give answers. But I pray for more than that. I pray that your peace will flood every heart right now. I pray, God, that your peace, the Prince of Peace, Jesus, that you would enter hearts and you will bring healing to hearts who are struggling, in Jesus' name. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bring comfort to there where it's still raw and sore, where comfort is needed. And I pray, Father, that this morning, Lord, we will choose to say, I believe the truth despite my circumstances, despite my past experience. I choose to believe the Word of God, that you want to heal and that you are the healer. Father, I bless every person, God, as they walk with you in this journey, God. I pray, Father, that people will find time, even today, God, to spend quietly with you and just to wrestle and talk honestly. I feel for some of you, you're actually scared of bringing your raw emotion to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, He's not scared. He's not scared. Go and read the Psalms. Jesus, David was honest. He said, God, where are you? I'm not happy. I'm disappointed. What happened? So I want to encourage, for some of you, it feels like you're a little bit like a Coke blickie, a bottle of Coke that has been shook, and you need to burst. You need to let all that gas, all that stuff come out. So I want to encourage you to take that to God. He's not scared. He knows it's in there anyway. And He's waiting for you. And I just see Him with a big smile sitting and saying, please bring all of that to me. Ooh, and I'm going to offend every religious spirit now. But I feel for some of you, it might even involve not really pretty language. And God is saying, I'm not offended with your language. I know it's anywhere in there. Just come to me. I just want you to come to me. He's the dad standing with open arms to the prodigal son saying, just come home because I love you. So I thank you, God, that I can bless each person, Father, to get to you, Lord, and be real and honest with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to pray. We are nice and early, so we've got time to pray. Praise God. I'm just going to do one or two, since we're doing the basics of healing. I'm just going to, before we pray, I'm just going to help you and equip you a little bit more. There's not a right and wrong, but I'm going to give you some guidelines. So the first one is, if you are praying, and like Jeremy said, if you are a believer, you've got the power of the Holy Spirit, we should all be praying, right, for sick people. So be ready that you might need to this morning pray for somebody who's sick. If you are going to pray, you need to remember that the power is not in your prayer. The power is in God. Everybody say, okay, the pressure is off. There's no pressure. We cannot heal nobody, but Jesus can. So I want to immediately take the pressure off yourself, okay? If it's too much pressure and if it's not fun, you're anyway not going to do it ever again, right? Okay, because we're not in school and nobody's checking up on me on Monday morning when I'm sweeping the road. But when I realize that I'm not the one who's healing and I cannot heal, but I can be obedient to a prompting of the Holy Spirit, then I realize the power is not, it's not, I cannot do nothing. So you need to take the pressure off, all right? It's not you, it's the power of God on you. It's Jesus who's in the room that's doing the healing. So it's not in a long prayer. We're not praying long prayers. A short prayer is more than enough. All right. When we pray, we don't ask Jesus to heal. Please, Jesus, will you heal if you feel like it today? Might you consider touching William? No, Jesus already declared that every sickness, every disease, he has healed and taken upon his body on the cross. All right. So when we pray for somebody, if I pray for Richard and say his knee is not feeling well, I declare healing over that knee and I speak to the ligaments, I speak to the muscle, I speak to whatever the condition is, and I declare the words of Jesus over that and I say, be healed in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? So I speak to the sickness. If it's lungs, and if you're comfortable, we're going to get to that. You put your hand on the lungs and you say, lungs, be cleared of the mucus in Jesus' name. I command the mucus to dilute and get out in the name of Jesus. Lungs, be healed. Does that make sense? So we declare the healing. We don't ask God to please do it. You speak to the muscle. You speak healing. If it is something that's not there, say, I'm in my ear, but I was actually born deaf. So something happened during the birth or the development in my mom's wound. It wasn't properly, this is going to stretch some of you, but let's go there. God hasn't stopped creating. Do you know that? He's still creating. Why? Because his words are still going out. And he creates, and there's creative power in his words. So if it's something that actually has been from birth, and I've never had that part of my ear to have it healed or to have it work properly, you just speak and say, there's creative, we just speak, create in Jesus' name. Create whatever bone, whatever muscle is needed in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? Okay. So that is if you're going to do, I do want to read, I don't have that scripture, Kaylin, don't worry about it. I did feel this morning to read this Mark. And this is what Dirkie did that Jeremy spoke about, why he prayed twice. Jesus, there's a story that Mark 8, here we are. Mark 8, verse 23, it says, so he, Jesus, took the blind man, this was a man that was blind that came to Jesus, he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, this time it wasn't even on the ground, he spat on them in the man's eyes. Can you imagine? I would be so offended with Jesus. Imagine somebody spitting in your face in church. I would be like, what is this? You know? Jesus spat in his eyes. He was like a disvolt. It was clearly not COVID. And he's put his hands on him. And he asked him if he saw anything. So he spat in his eyes and then he asked him, do you see anything? Expecting him to be healed, right? Verse 24, and he, the man, looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. So he wasn't fully healed, was he? Because now all of a sudden he sees, he's partially, it's a little bit better, but it's not great. Verse 25, then he, Jesus, put his hands on his eyes again. And made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away. So yeah, Jesus actually prayed, if you can call it pray. Jesus prayed twice. So if Jesus prayed twice, maybe we can do at least twice sometimes, right? We're trusting for the first time, but sometimes it takes more than once, and that's okay. Okay, so if we're going to pray twice, don't freak out. If you don't feel comfortable to receive prayer twice, then no problem at all. We're not putting pressure on nobody. Okay, so now we go over to the person receiving prayer. So if you're here this morning and you're going to receive prayer, okay, this is now I want you to listen up. There's no pressure on you to be healed this morning. Okay? There's no pressure on you to fake nothing. We don't do fake. We're in church. You're not allowed to lie. Near me. We're not going to catch you out. But there's no pressure. And I also want to encourage you to remember healing is a gift. You cannot earn it. So sometimes we stand and we're like praying harder than the person praying for you. And I want to encourage you, don't pray even. When you receive a gift, you just open your hands and you say, thank you, Jesus, for my gift. That's it. So if that's going to make it easier for you, I want you to open your hands and remember you are just receiving from God. You cannot earn your healing. For some of us, it's more difficult than others because I want to work and I want to earn and I want to pay back. For some of you, in Jesus' name, you need to learn how to receive. Maybe it starts with your neighbor giving you a bag of lemons. It's lemon time now. And you will take it, but you immediately think, what do I need to give back? What have I got in the fridge? What can I give? Okay, here's a bottle of jam. Let's give that back. And Jesus is saying, you just need to receive. It's paid. Just receive it. All right. So I want you to receive it as a gift. It's not, you can't earn it. Okay, last two things. You're going to tell somebody what your problem is. If my problem is with my knee, all I say is my knee is sore. Is it the front or the back? It's the back of the knee. That's it. You don't need to give a full medical history. It was in 2004, I went mountain biking and I fell down and then it came right and I'm blown my moan. Not necessary. Just brief description. You do need to tell the person who is praying for you, though, what they are praying for. If it is appropriate, put your hand on that problem. Does that make sense? So if the person who's praying, if you feel comfortable, if it's not appropriate, please do not put your hand there, okay? That's perfectly fine. You can put your own hand on your chest if you don't feel comfortable. Somebody touching your lungs. I feel lungs this morning. So Stefan is opgewonde vir die longe. Ons gaan nie die longe... Release me. All right. Then I want to ask you, if you have pain, we want to become aware of our pain level. So if 10 is excruciating pain, I cannot actually even think or listen to what you are saying because I am in that much pain. 0 is I have 0 pain. So on a level of 0 to 10, we become aware. Why? Because if there's any change, we need to recognize it. Does that make sense? That's why we become aware. So with Jeremy, he immediately became aware that there's less pain at the back. If he didn't kind of stop in the beginning and just checked what's going on with my pain levels, sometimes it's difficult to recognize, did it actually get less or not? Does that make sense? So that's the reason why we ask that. So without further ado, we are going to pray for a couple of people. But before, I really felt strongly for people who are in pain right now. Is there anybody that's in pain? Whether it's a headache, right now, as you're sitting here, you are in pain. Is there anybody like that? Oh, goodness, many hands. Okay. If you guys can stand up, we're going to start with you. I actually felt to do a prophetic act. So if that is you and you raised your hand or you are in pain and you're saying, I want to stand. Okay, so if that is you, won't you just become aware? For the rest of us, we're just praying quietly where we are sitting. Won't you just become aware, like I said, on 0 to 10, how bad it is?